and a very warm welcome to Section D, Monocle 24's weekly dedicated design show. I'm Yolaine Goffin, standing in this week for Josh Finnett. On today's show, we take a closer look at the design scene in my native city of Antwerp. First up...
For me, fashion is communication. And I think also that people who have a kind of creative voice, that they should try at least to talk about problems and about things that matter.
Walter van Berendonk, head of the Antwerp Fashion Academy, reflects on the past, present and future of fashion in the city. Then...
There's like really a community feeling. It's a very global feeling in Antwerp North. That's what we like the most.
We go on a tour of North Antwerp, a resurgent neighborhood that's home to an increasing number of architecture and design studios. We also take a tour of interior designer Gert Voriaanse's showroom and finish with a visit to concept design shop and hospitality venture Graanmerk 13. All that coming up right here on Section D. Nestled in the heart of Flanders, Belgium's Dutch-speaking northern region, Antwerp has garnered a reputation in recent years as being a regional city with a global reach. I've just returned from a tour of the city with Monocle's design editor Nolan Giles. And today we bring you interviews with some of its brightest design talents and ask the question, are Antwerp's best days ahead of it? We begin our tour with a trip to Antwerp's Royal Academy of Fine Arts to speak to its head of fashion, Walter van Berendonk. Van Berendonk rose to prominence as a member of the Antwerp Six, a group of young graduates who emerged from the academy to put Belgian design at the center of the fashion world in the 1980s. Since 1985, Van Berendonk has taught at the school and continues to challenge industry conventions through his own label. Nolan met with him at the academy to discuss both his own work and that of his students.
So we are in the Antwerp Fashion Department, where we have our open door. So today... people interested are visiting the school for information.
And you studied here at the Royal Academy.
Yes.
And now you're running the place. Can you tell us a little bit about the differences between then and now? Because obviously it was a very creative time when you were there, and I imagine it's still a creative time to be here. But can you explain what's changed and what has stayed the same?
Yeah, I think the big difference between then and now is the interest in the school, because when we were studying here, the period of the six, plus one, plus Martin, it was a very anonymous school without any renommé, so no people really graduated here, which became known in the fashion world. And we were also a little bit frustrated to be in a country without a fashion history, in a school without a fashion history, and really desperately want to get out of Belgium. And I think it was really this ambition to be together, to work together, to get out together, to travel together, and then also to present our collections together that created that kind of vibe. And it changed also completely the over the years, of course, the interest for the school.
So in terms of where it's at today, why are people coming here?
They're coming now especially because they've seen designers who graduated here, who worked in a very specific way, also in a kind of different way sometimes. And for young people, that's also very fascinating to see that it is possible also to work in that direction, that way. And that's why they're traveling really from the other side of the world, and they're coming to a place like Antwerp to have a kind of freedom and to study and to graduate in a different way, I think.
And just talking about freedom in work and in design, you've recently showed in Paris. Your collection was kind of fantastical in some ways, pared back in some ways, but overall there was kind of a lot going on there. There was a bit of theatre as well. For our listeners, could you sort of explain what you did there?
I mean, I'm each time I'm trying to tell a kind of story on every fashion show, and this time I really wanted to create a kind of almost like a shamanistic feeling, because I think it's really, the world is in a very bad shape, and really have to try to get rid of the bad spirits. And that's what I tried to do. It was not a real ritual, but the music I used and also the elements I was referring to were very shamanistic inspired.
And when you're doing something like that and you're thinking creatively at such a high level and being so imaginative and, you know, bringing these fantastical elements into your design, I mean, that must be quite a personal thing. How do you teach that to others?
I think that definitely the storytelling is something which is very typical for the Antwerp Academy and Antwerp School, and also the way to deal with fashion. We try to give it always like a content. We try to stimulate the students to go further than the garments, and I think that is also visible in the people who graduated here. It's part of our how the team and how the teachers are dealing with them. We have a very one-to-one way of working with the students. So it's a very almost measure-made course they're following. And we really try to push them and let them grow over the 4 years they're here.
Before you mentioned, you know, you were making a bit of a comment in your last show, and you've made comments in a lot of your work in the past. I'm thinking in your fall 2015 collection, it was marked with the word "Stop terrorizing our world." Yeah. Why is it so important for you as a designer to be an activist? And where do you stand on pushing that with your students as well?
For me, fashion is communication. And I always, from the beginning, why I chose it, it was one of the main reasons that I choose fashion tool, because I think it's a communication tool. And I think also that people who have a kind of creative voice, that they should try at least to talk about problems and about things that matter. And I think the concern about the world is something which is there and which I want to talk about. And even in brightly colored, optimistic looking collections, I still put some messages about safe sex and AIDS and the problematic back in the 90s. I'm traveling, this "Stop terrorizing our world" was a slogan I used first already 10 years ago. I brought it back because of the terrorist attacks in Paris. I think it's good also that creative people are talking and telling, because I think it could have a kind of impact on how people in general think. And sometimes I think it's not happening enough.
It's not happening enough.
Yeah, definitely. I'm now rather surprised that suddenly everybody had like a political voice the last months. I mean, it was even surprising to see Milan, suddenly to see the Pussycat Ears on the catwalk of Missoni. And I think it's good, but suddenly it's also like, it's in the air that people are now suddenly politically correct and talking about it. But I think it's a good evolution.
That was Walter van Berendonk, head of fashion at the Antwerp Academy of Fine Arts. A 10-minute bike ride away from the famous fashion center of Antwerp, there is a little-known pocket of town where creatives and makers have made their home and workspace in recent years. Antwerp Noord is historically a working-class area and was for long an ignored part of the city. But urban regeneration plans are slowly turning the area into a more livable and appealing place. I wanted to know what it was about this nook of the city that was attracting creative talent. So I jumped on my bike and paid a visit to some architects and designers in their studios.
So we are Collective Noord, which means, like, when you translate it in English, it would be the Northern Collective.
That's Erik Weers. He co-founded Collective Noord in 2011.
There are two important words. We are a collective. We're a group of architects that try to put the ideas together. And we're living in the north of Antwerp, by which we want to make a statement that in difficult parts of the city, you still can live in a good way.
So my name is Dries Verbrugge, and I'm co-founder of Design Studio Unfold, together with my wife, Claire Vanier. And we're a design studio that focuses half on autonomous work, so projects that end up in galleries, design biennials, museums worldwide, and that often investigate this intersection between traditional craft making and new digital technology. And then on the other hand, we do applied projects for our customers, different brands, where we translate our vision on design into tangible projects.
And finally, I met up with the life and business partners Bart and Magali.
We are called Studio Coffee Clutch. The name originated from Coffee Clutch, the blog, where we interview creative people in their homes. And we generally do photo shoots, art direction, design, and copywriting for different kind of clients, ranging in the art field to furniture, to design, to editorial work for magazines.
Bart and Magali from Coffee Clutch tell me the neighborhood doesn't have a great reputation with people who've never visited it. There's a tense political climate after the attack in Brussels last year. and there is still a high-level threat from terrorism. Although people from Antwerp have become accustomed to the sight of soldiers keeping an eye on the city, negative media coverage has contributed to suspicion among some visiting the city. A new wave of creative enterprises are changing the narrative around the area. Here's Eric.
I think there are about 150 somewhat nationalities living here, close to each other. So it's a really, really multicultural area. There are a lot of difficulties with drugs and problems and conflicts between all those people. But I think it's interesting that the people who live here start to build up relations with the neighbors, like the hairdresser you're going or the shops you're visiting. There are a lot of really good shops in the neighborhood to buy fish or meat or vegetables. It's really cheap and very good quality. When you see there's some festivities or something, some years ago it didn't really work, but nowadays all the different cultures are joining in to have sort of a fair or something. They have some food salad out on the street. And year after year, when they organize this fair, it's working better and better. You can see that people are really engaged in their neighborhood more and more. And also, on the other hand, because the houses are still relatively cheap, a lot of younger alternative people come to live here, like artists or architects, and that's also, you get an interesting mixture in the area.
We didn't really know the neighborhood when we moved here 5 years ago. We were just looking for a big house with a garden, which we found 2 blocks down from here, so we know the neighborhood now very well. But yeah, for us it was a surprise coming here because there are so many nationalities here. There's a big Chinese community, African community, Turkish, Portuguese. So everybody speaks different languages. But everybody's so friendly. I mean, when I go to the store, it takes me 20 minutes to get back just because I'm chatting to everybody. Everybody knows each other's names. There's like really a community feeling. It's a very global feeling in Antwerp North. And that's what we like the most.
And that was Magali, co-founder of Coffee Clutch. This strong sense of community continues on inside their workspace. When I enter the industrial building where Unfold Design are based, I am first welcomed by designer and artist Octave van de Wegen. He shows me the way to Unfold Studio, but first we meet Israeli jewelry designer Dana Sechuga. I immediately sense that the space is a collaborative hub for creativity. They talk to me about the benefits of sharing a space and materials.
This is, of course, a place that is rapidly developing and where temporary occupation like this space is. Lots of things are in flux, so lots of spaces are also temporarily empty. And so that's always an interesting breeding ground, of course, too, or a place to find interesting spaces.
So can you describe the space we're in now?
We're in an old mustard factory, so it's a very large complex of a few buildings. Before a few years, it was a company specialized in theater, textiles, and things like that. And now at the moment, it's been empty for, I think, 3 years and mostly occupied by artists, designers, creatives, makers. There's definitely a big sense of community. The people that we share the floor with are all people that we didn't know before. So we met them here and we have a strong connection. We work kind of with similar influences and similar methods, but on very different scales and very different applications. So there's lots of exchanging of ideas and techniques here. It's also very, what we really like about Antwerp is a few things. It's very centrally located. So if you often need to be in France or Germany or the Netherlands, it's super well connected. The size, it's like big enough to be metropolitan, but small enough to not be completely stuck in the city, that it takes an hour to get out. And then it's still fairly affordable to find studio space, to rent or buy a place. So I think for every creative who is making things, space is not really a luxury. It's really something you need to develop your ideas and to produce them. And it's also a bit a sign of these times that a lot of designers are actually also producers.
We made 3 dwellings and our architectural office at this spot. And we have a communal garden.
Here's Erik again, talking about Collective Noord's office space, a former printery.
So I went to live in one of the houses, and the two other we sold to people we didn't know before. So it's not that we're living with friends together, but we became friends, of course, after a few years. And we're sharing the garden with the office and the three families, which is really nice. We made an architectural setting, and it was important for us that the garden wasn't private to someone, but also that it wasn't a public space, but something really in between, like a collective space. And that's why we decided that everybody should have a roof terrace. So if you want, you can be on your own outside. So you don't have to be obliged to be in the public space all the time. And I think it's really working good in that way. It's not that we're sort of a community of people, but we started from architectures to make a setting that would learn people to live together.
I discover that affordable space is not just a lucky find, but it's also actively being created by an initiative of the city.
Archivispa is like a company, and what they do is that they buy city blocks and they tear everything down and they put new apartments up, but like really great apartments and affordable. And it also attracts a different type of people to Antwerp North, people who aren't especially familiar with the neighborhood, but who just like affordable apartments. And this is bringing a different atmosphere to the city, to the neighborhood.
So the appeal of the neighborhood becomes clear. Affordable large-scale studio space and an inspirational global vibe on a local level. But I wonder, what's it like to run a creative business from a smaller city if you're trying to appeal to clients outside of Belgium's borders? Here's Magali again.
It's so small that you feel as if you're living in a village. Everything is accessible. It's very easy going around. It's easy living in Antwerp. And that's what makes us creative. It makes us productive because we have all the facilities we need and everything is accessible, so we can grow more creatively here in Antwerp than we would if we would live somewhere else. I think if a company contacts someone who's living in Antwerp, it's a good thing because we're very mobile. I mean, London is so nearby. Paris is nearby. Belgian people speak multiple languages, so it's very easy for us to accelerate. So as soon as you have like an international client, we ask ourselves like, yeah, why not? Let's just jump and take the leap and just see what happens. And I think that's also like a very Antwerp mentality.
And finally, Dries contemplates why Antwerp's creative industries may remain a little bit of a dark horse.
Everybody knows the city because of fashion, but that's, I think, where it ends. So the other creative industries are not so known outside of Antwerp, or it's, of course, there's lots of individual studios and designers and artists that are super known, but nobody really connects it immediately to Antwerp. So we also often get, even from people in the city, the remark if they find out that we're based in Antwerp, they're like, oh, you're in Antwerp. So it's maybe more a typical Belgian thing, but we're not chauvinist enough, I think. We're not organized enough in a way. It's also the quality of Belgium that it is not the Netherlands. It's not like super organized. It's a bit more ad hoc, a bit more. But that's also, in a way, the quality of it and the charm of it. So it's always a bit of a, do you really want to, like, over-organize things or over-communicate, but a bit of proudness, a bit of showing what's all happening in this city, never hurts, I think.
The work of interior designer Gert Voriaans is marked by both grandeur and good taste. His designs for Belgian fashion brand Dries Van Noten's retail spaces brought him global acclaim. But he spends most of his energy designing for domestic settings, with clients ranging from owners of German castles to London penthouses. Based in a beautiful terrace house in Antwerp's Leopoldplatz, he offered Monocle's design editor Nolan Giles a tour of his antique and design-laden showroom cum office and a preview of his latest book, Daily Life.
I always start with a white canvas, a big white paper. And that's confronting already for my future customer, because they think, oh, now finally we go to Gert and he will dictate us all the new solutions. But it's not like that. Of course, I have my proper ideas, But the first thing what I say to my future customer is already that I'm not going to live in that place, what they've chosen. So they have to really listen very well and make the right decisions. I will guide them, but it's their home and they are going to live there.
But what's the typical reaction from a customer when they come in and just see such a level of eclecticism here with everything you have, but also just it's...
Before you come here, you're never here by coincidence, because there I'm already too much in a niche or in a typical area. I also don't think there is one solution in decoration. It's like in dressing. Sometimes the lady in the morning wants to be in a jogging, and in the afternoon maybe in the jeans, and in the evening she wants to have a wonderful evening gown. And not vice versa, and you cannot compare a beautiful gown with a jeans. And that's also what I propose about what I do. If you have a wonderful house in the country, and that's completely different than a house on the sea or in the city, or townhouse or a penthouse. So I think there are very much different approaches, and all are very good, can be very good solutions.
All right, so let's take us through the book.
Yeah, the book is, in fact, a continuation of the first book, whose Interior Life. The first book is really like my inspiration, my melting pot, my mood board, my presentation of what I am and which world I live, and more the commercial projects, what I've realized until then, 2012. Now, this is a continuation, and because after the book, if people who are not in interior or an artist, what is that guy doing? Because it's really not possible to understand. So I said, okay, because in the first point, I didn't like to show sofas, bathroom, kitchens. I like, I don't like. I like appreciation in the project or for the client or for the people you work with. But I don't believe that things has to have a global confirmation to be good, because it's very subjective if you like a color or a volume or a... So I don't want to have that as a kind of a wall for interaction. But of course, I'm now, they convinced me to do it. So I show now 10 houses. 10 houses who I've done from A to Z, really stripped and started from scratch. 10 houses in the sense of that I show a city house, a townhouse. There was the old Consulate of France. And it's in fact 10 times the project, and I divided it with a little story.
So in a way, do you sometimes have to educate your clients that you're showing them that there needs to be a sense of place? And it's amazing the way that you're able to craft such beautiful spaces, but at the same time really pay tribute to the heritage of the building and give it a sense of place.
Yeah, for instance, here the house, people think, oh, wonderful, they live in that Schloss. I can tell you, it's really, really, really a challenge to be happy over there, because it's never taught to be the coziness and being in the rocking chair and being, because it was a fortress and there were barbarians there who live in one room and they were shooting and killing everyone. It was not there to have now the cakes in the oven it was not meant to be. Then later on in the 19th century, of course, it was in that Victorian period. They had like a battery, like an enormous school of servants over there. But that's also today different. We live in a different period. So to make those houses really livable and enjoyable and have kids, a son and a daughter from 8 years old.
But how do you execute such extravagance, but also with such good taste? It must be an incredibly difficult thing to manage, and it must be a natural thing.
That's something natural. That's what I say always, not with a painting, but with aquarelle. You can never, never correct an aquarelle. A painting, you can adjust once, twice. When I have to rethink the room 3 times, forget it. Then we do it on the side, and that's from scratch. It doesn't work like that. The basic ideas, they are there already in the house the first time I walk in. I don't dare to tell it already, my client, because I have to tell it step by step, because they have to grow in the process.
Interior designer Geert Voorjans there, speaking to Nolan Giles. And the final stop on our tour of Antwerp was Graanmarkt 13, a concept design shop and hospitality venture. Nolan spoke to Michael Verheide, a young Belgian designer whose work features prominently in the store. Michael spoke about his work, the benefits of exhibiting in a carefully curated design space, and the appeal of Antwerp as a design city.
It started with 10 pieces, and immediately we wanted to make it as beautiful as possible. So also we want to work with natural and noble materials. There was, of course, leather from the bags, and then we added marble, bronze, wood. And it's really more fun to do because it's also, it gives a lot more freedom. And actually, you can work with all kinds of techniques and materials that we want.
You were saying before that you like to use noble materials, and looking at what you've got here, you've got sort of beautiful marble objects, but they're not showy or overstating, they're quite understated. How do you sort of create that harmony in your designs? How do you come up with these designs?
Well, actually, I try to be as subtle as possible as a designer. I try to develop a clear signature so people can recognize it's a piece that I designed, but it doesn't always have to be so visible, the hand of the designer, so it could be more subtle. It's also the materials play a major role. And also, we try to celebrate craftsmanship. And we have also our own workshop. So we are like one part designer, one part craftsman, and one part businessman. So it's really like an important mix for us.
And that's a mix that has been successful here in Belgium, but also overseas as well. Where are the biggest markets for you at the moment?
Outside of Belgium and Europe, it's mainly actually the States, United States. We sell quite well there.
Just going back to here and where we are today and, you know, this beautiful shop, I mean, what was it that attracted you to being stocked here? And, I mean, you've obviously probably got a good choice of retailers in Antwerp, but you've chosen to be here. Why is that?
We are almost of the same age, and we really like their philosophy. Our philosophy matches really well with what they try to do here. From the basement to the top floor, you can really like spend half a day here. Start with lunch, do some shopping. If you're very lucky, you can see the apartment. Of course, that's not for everybody, but it's really like the whole package really makes sense. And it's true, there are a lot of nice things to see and do in Antwerp, but this is really like the top notch.
And today I've spoken to quite a few designers and members of the creative community here, and I'm trying to kind of unpick what makes Antwerp a special city to work from, because there's so much good design talent comes from here. What is it for you?
A lot of things are happening on a very small area, and it's a really good place for experiments compared to other like big cities. Rent is quite reasonable still. It's still a nice city for young creative people. There is still realistic to develop your own thing here. And a lot of people from all over the world come to get inspired here. We're not that good, I think, in Belgium in general to make it really like a big business. But if you want to discover new creative talent, it's really the best place to be.
That was Michael Verheyde speaking to Nolan Giles at Graanmarkt 13. And that's it for this week's show. My thanks to our editor, Alex Funnel, and the show's producer, Henry Rees Sheridan. If you have any comments or queries, then feel free to email Henry at hrs@monocle.com. And remember, we're back next week at the same time. You've been listening to Section D. I'm Yolaine Goffin. Until next time, it's goodbye from me.